Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2 in Cranston. We are on to week 7 of the podcast, which is very hard to believe, wow. But the season always flies, and we're more than halfway through pretty much at this
point.
Yeah,
we're getting close to deciding playoffs.
We really are, yeah. Although we were talking about playoffs in like week 2, so.
Well, we know everything.
That's true. Amazing. Except that one time when we didn't know anything, but regardless, we will get right into it here with our game of the week. And that is an interesting D2 matchup, Westerly visiting Vets on Friday at 7 o'clock. Big game for both teams and a very big game for Vets. The way it kind of shapes up, they've got 3 league games left. Really, I think 95% need to get to 4 wins to get into the playoffs. So they're going to have to take 2 of these league games and start it starting with Westerly.
Yeah, last year 4 didn't even get in. But yeah. You know, it's a little more clouded this year. Teams are a little closer together, so I think 4 will probably get you, and 3 is not going to get in, though. There's going to be a couple of those 2-2 teams that emerge and get to 4 wins, and so that's what Vets needs to be focusing on. They need to win twice in their last 3 games, and they have, unfortunately, a pretty tough schedule to get it done. You know, they have Westerly this week, who's 3-1 in the division, ranked number 12 in the state, and they also have Johnston down the line, who is undefeated overall, is ranked 5th in the state, is probably the best Division 2 team out there, at least right now. And they have Mount Hope, who has been on the rise a little bit and is 2-2 at the moment. So somehow Vets needs to get 2 of those games. Johnston is probably the least likely one for them to win, which means if you call that one a loss, they probably have to beat Westerly, you know, if that's the way you're going to look at it. So I would think Vets is playing this game like it's one that they have to get if they want to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vets, 2 weeks ago, beat Cherho. Solid win for them. Kept them in the mix. Kept them in the conversation. Last week played West Warwick in a non-league game and lost, but you know, don't take too much from that one. This is the one they'll definitely be focused on, but it will not be an easy task. I mean, this is a game that I think Westerly will be favored. Vets is going to have to surprise people. Vets is going to have to pull off an upset to get this one. Westerly, like you said, 3-1 in the division, beat Division 1 Barrington earlier in the year, and their only loss was to Woonsocket by a single point. So they could very easily be undefeated at this point.
Yeah, and if they were undefeated, we probably wouldn't even be giving Vets much of a chance. And that, you know, if they only have that 1-point loss. But still, there's something about Vets now at this point in the season where you still think they have a chance as opposed to a few weeks ago. Because they got that win against Cherho, they looked confident then. You could tell that was a win they really, really wanted and worked hard to get, and they pulled it off. And because they're getting a little healthier. We talked in the early season about Dennis Scalzo and David McDonald both being hurt. They're both back. They're playing, you know, middle linebacker there, and that makes such a huge difference on their defense. When they didn't have those guys, they were getting run over by teams like Woonsocket and teams like Coventry, who ran the ball really well. Westerly's going to try and run the ball too, and you know they've had success throughout most of the year. But now Vets has their A team out there to try and prevent that run. So that's a huge, huge positive for Vets. Will it be enough to stop a pretty good Westerly attack? I don't know.
And the other thing that Vets has, I think, going for it a little bit is it's kind of grittiness. We had a quote from Jesse Sidoma in the paper after the Cherho win where he said, if things go wrong and we just work harder. Like, that's the identity that they have bought into.
Yeah.
And that can make a big difference in Division 2 and in any level, really. You know, if a football team believes and they're willing to work hard and they have a little bit of talent like Vets does, they can make some noise. All that said, I mean, Westerly is a tough challenge. Great quarterback in Phil Lynch. Really stingy defense. The 19 they allowed to Woonsocket was the most they allowed in league play. So they're a definite tough team. And they were actually, I think, preseason ranked ahead of Johnston. So a lot of people thought pretty highly of them and still do. I mean, the one thing Vets can look at is that the Woonsocket, they lost kind of bad to Woonsocket, but they're also in that game. And Woonsocket did beat Westerly. So Vets could be in the game if they can kind of muck it up a little bit and play their type of game, I think.
Things have to line up. I mean, Vets would have to play probably its best game of the season. You know, TJ Boyage needs to get loose and run for over 100 yards, like he always does when they have a big game. And they need to be able to throw the ball. You mentioned Westerly's stingy defense, allowing those 19 to Woonsocket as the most. If Vets scores 19 points, I'm still not sure they're going to win. Mm-hmm. So they need to really put together a complete offensive performance where they're doing, you know, they're running the ball and they're throwing the ball, because I think Westerly's going to be able to score at least a little bit. You know, they haven't scored fewer than 20 points. They've only done it once this year where they've scored fewer than 20 points, and that was last week to Division 1 East Providence. So they're probably going to get you to 20, maybe a little bit more. Vets needs to match that, and so they got to be able to run the ball, and they have to be able to throw the ball, and they've done so successfully when they've won games. So, you know, they have to be able to do them both, though.
Yep. And West Philly is coming off a loss to East Providence last week in a non-league game, which I'm not really sure what the read is on that one, because East Providence has struggled mightily in D1, but maybe West Philly wasn't going all out.
East Providence is getting a little better, too, as the season's going on.
Yeah. So we will take Westerly in this one. I think it'll be pretty close, but we're going to take the Bulldogs 19-6. Regardless, I think it's exciting for Vets just to be in the mix at this point to host a big Friday night game. So hopefully there's a big crowd out there. Go out and see some good football Friday, 7 o'clock.
They can get a win in this one, too. Watch out for the next couple weeks, because it'll get huge around there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to a big D1 matchup. Second big matchup in a row for Hendricken. They hosted Cranston East last week. We kind of built that game up, and Hendricken won at 21-14. Now, Hawks still rank second, and they go to play number 4 Portsmouth on Friday at 7 o'clock. That one's in Portsmouth. It's not as big a game, kind of statement-wise, because Hendricken has sort of made the statement. Portsmouth has already lost to LaSalle, but, I mean, two of the best four teams in the league at this point.
You think so? I mean, Hendricken certainly is. I don't think there's any question that Hendricken's one of the best teams in the state. And Portsmouth has looked that way so far. They're only lost to LaSalle, like you said. You know, really, really dynamic offense. And they've had a stingy demon. They've allowed the second fewest points in Division One behind Hendricken, who's had the best defense in the state. But it's a huge game for Portsmouth if they want to be in the conversation for getting a home game in the first round of the playoffs. We think, although we've been wrong before, but we think we got the four playoff teams pretty much cut out. And right now, LaSalle and Hendricken have the upper hand for those home playoff games. If Portsmouth is going to get one of those two and finish in the top two, they're going to have to knock off Hendricken.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one they're going to have to win, or else they're going to lose the tiebreaker to LaSalle and Hendricken. So Portsmouth needs this one if they want to host a playoff game. I'm sure they want to win it anyway just to further their push towards the playoffs. If Hendricken wins it, they come very, very close to clinching a home playoff game with the tiebreaker already over Portsmouth and East at this point. So, big game in terms of that sort of situation. And it's just two of the better teams in the state going head-to-head.
Yeah, anytime you get two of these teams, we've talked all year about the kind of the top four, and they hadn't played each other very much until last week. So now Hendricken gets it back-to-back weeks. Hendricken against East, probably not at its absolute best, committed a lot of penalties. What, 14
they had 14 penalties in that game and 3 turnovers.
Yeah. But they found a way. They played really well defensively, got a lot of pressure on Alex Corvisi, and that just completely limited East's weapons. Corvisi couldn't find them because he was getting chased out of the pocket pretty consistently. And that defense, I think, is really the calling card for Hendricken at this point.
It's got to be the best in the state. I mean, they've allowed 34 points in Division One, and that's Portsmouth is second, and they've allowed more than twice as many as Hendricken has. Mm. So that just shows you how dominant Hendricken has been defensively. And the offense has been really good too, but you know, it's because they hold teams off the scoreboard for so long initially that offense gets some time to get going, and before you know it, it's a 2 or 3 touchdown lead and they're rolling right along. I was really, really impressed a couple guys who made a difference last week with Mario McLean and Jared Witherspoon. Really, really getting to the quarterback. Alex Corvisi for Cranston East had very, very little time to throw. They were in his face the whole game. Hendricken racked up, I think it was 7 sacks. So they're getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they have 5, 6, 7 guys who I think are real, real, real standout defensive players. When you put that many people in there, and then the four or five other guys who are still very good, you know, it has the makings for a really, really, really great defense.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think the game plan for Hendricken this week will be pretty similar to what they did against Cranston East. East likes to throw the ball around. Portsmouth can do the same thing. Really dynamic offense. Austin Sapaniak is one of the best running backs in the state. And you saw them against Cranston West, and they went to the air big time in that game.
Yeah, they threw for a ton of yards in the first half in that game. I think at their heart, their identity is trying to run the ball with Sapaniak. I think that's what they would like to do. But everyone else knows that, too. So teams take it away. I mean, you're going to try and take away the other team's best player, and I think there's been a lot of that this year. But luckily, Portsmouth does have some weapons where they can go away from Sapaniak and still get some things done. Their quarterback, Bobby Chavis, and they have a real good receiver named Sean Tolson. Those two have hooked up. And a couple other guys. And their passing game isn't as vertical as East is. You know, they can send Marvin Bove on a fade and throw it 40 yards. East can do that and get a big play. Portsmouth is more slants, short passing gains that turn into big plays. So, you know, I think that kind of plays into the Hendricken defense a little bit. They're so fast and they're so athletic that I don't think they're very susceptible to being beat on slant plays and ins and things like that. So, yeah, I just, you know, Portsmouth has the weapons and they can score, but man, Hendricken's defense has been good lately.
Yep, and Hendricken's offense has been getting it done. You know, week after week, they find a way. They do what they can do. they've proven themselves very capable of scoring points when they need to. And with that defense, they don't necessarily have to score a lot. So
yeah, it's kind of like the last couple years where, you know, the offense has been really good. It gets overshadowed a little bit by the mm-hmm. defense. But then by the time you look at the stats at the end of the year, Hendrickson's got one of the two or three best offenses yeah. in the state too. So they're just playing really, really well last night. We picked against them last week.
We did.
We picked East. We were proven wrong, as it seems to happen when we pick against Hendrickson. So, I don't know, they've kind of made believers out of me, and I'm sure you too at this point, because they're playing well.
We won't make the same mistake this week. Hendrickson 28-14. Let's go back to Division II. We've got Johnston facing Cherahoe on Friday at 7 o'clock down at Cherahoe. And the Panthers coming off a bye week. But certainly feeling great at this point, ranked fifth and undefeated still, and really haven't been challenged.
No, I wouldn't want to be Cherahoe this week. Johnston playing so well all season, coming off the bye, get a little healthier, get a little rest. Now they get right back at it against a team that they're better than, a team that has struggled so far in Division II anyway. I mean, it has all the makings for a blowout on paper. Johnston, we're looking up the stats today, has scored 146 points and allowed 18 in division play. Those are both far and away the most. I mean, they've scored tons more than anyone else, and they've allowed tons fewer than everybody else. So it's a mismatch. It just is. The one concern you have about Johnston is that coming off the bye, you know, maybe they're a little rusty. Maybe they're not, you know, as fine-tuned as they were when they were playing every week and kind of gotten into a routine. But with a team that's been so good, going against a team that probably couldn't even beat them on their best day, No disrespect to Charo, but it just seems that way. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think that Johnson's going to fall into a big trap where all of a sudden they're out of sorts and things. It just doesn't feel like that kind of game.
Yeah, and I mean, you could make a pretty strong case that relative to their competition, Johnson's been the most dominant team in the state.
Yeah,
I mean, they haven't been touched. They really haven't. And they haven't played the division's best teams. Mm-hmm. They haven't played Westerly yet. They haven't played...
They still have Mount Hope.
They still have Mount Hope.
They still have Vets.
They still have Vets. So
Westerly's the big one. That's the one they haven't played. They tuned up Woonsocket and Coventry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. They did. So they have played even better teams than I realized, I guess. But Johnston, if they needed anything extra in this one, Cherahoe beat them in a game they really wanted to have last year, and one of the couple of games that kind of kept them out of the playoffs. So if they need any extra motivation, they'll have that going for them as well.
Yeah. Cherahoe wants to run the ball. Big guy at tackle, Jesse Parento, I guess is his name. I saw him against Vets, and he is as big as we made him out to be coming into that. He's huge. I mean, 350 pounds. He's an enormous guy. But what comes with that kind of weight is you're a little bit slower, as you can imagine. I think Johnston's defense is predicated on speed. They have a lot of really good athletes, so I don't think that they're going to be neutralized by Cherahoe's size. I think they can get to the quarterback. And if you can stop Charo's running back, Austin McQuaid, you pretty much eliminate their offense. They struggle to throw the ball. So Johnston takes McQuaid out of it, and it gets some pressure on the quarterback. And I think, you know, this one might be over by about halftime.
And we will take the Panthers 43-15. Sticking with Division II, we've got Woonsocket visiting Tollgate on Saturday at 1:30. Novans are ranked 15th, coming off a bye week. They're right in the mix in Division 2A. Tollgate has continued to struggle 0-6 overall, and lost a game that they really thought they might have had a better chance to win against Punahgansett last week. But you know, I was around Tollgate the other day talking to their quarterback Dave Babcock, some of their coaches, and they don't seem like a team that's just 0-6 and phoning it in. They're ready to go. You know, they're ready to do what they can against pretty much everybody.
Yeah, but do they feel like they let one get away last week? I mean, that was probably their most complete game, at least for three quarters, right?
Right. If you take away Punahgansett, Scott Peterson, Tollgate defense played awesome. They even stopped Peterson on most of his carries, but he had a 93-yard touchdown run, a 70-yard touchdown run, a 37-yard touchdown run, and a 33-yard touchdown run. So he had over 300 yards rushing. So Tollgate can, if they can kind of look past that, they had a decent defensive effort, and their offense showed signs. If they had kind of gotten over the hump, they fumbled once on like the 1 yard line. They had a couple of other drives stall, but there were flashes there. So there's the chance that they can kind of get better and keep improving as this year goes on.
And they've switched their quarterback and their running back.
They have. Yes.
Dave Babcock now back at quarterback, Aaron Travers back at running back. It was the opposite way when the year started. So, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about kind of comfort factor and getting used to things and just kind of getting comfortable in your playbook and what you do. Now those guys are in different spots, have been there for a few weeks. You know, so you think that would breed a little more confidence just going forward, and maybe that shows itself with some more points on the field. Unfortunately, Woonsocket, I think, is even a little bit underrated. They're number 15 right now in the poll, and I think they only fell that far because the blowout loss they had to Johnston.
Yeah.
I mean, they got killed by Johnston, but as it turns out, everyone's going to get killed by Johnston. So Woonsocket fell pretty far, and I think people are undervaluing them a little bit. They beat Westerly. They beat Division I East Providence. They have some really, really good running backs. You've seen them. You know, really take over games.
Mm-hmm.
They really took care of Vets when they played them, at least in that second half when it was a close game early on. I just think they're a potential, you know, maybe semifinal team in Division II. And Tollgate at this point, you know, isn't. So
yeah.
You get those two things going against each other. But, you know, maybe Tollgate gets a little more comfortable, like we said, and builds on last week's performance.
And going back to the Woonsocket running backs, those guys are as good as there is in the division. I mean, Jalen Evans and Will Andino, DeAndre Thomas, very, very talented. And if Woonsocket kind of plays a complete game around them, then they're as tough to beat as anybody. So we'll take the Novans in this one, 35-14. Non-league game to talk about now. We've got Friday matchup at Cranston Stadium. Cranston West is hosting Dennis Yarmouth from Massachusetts. We don't know all that much about Dennis Yarmouth.
That's hard to.
But these teams actually played each other last year on Cape Cod. Cranston West lost to Dennis Yarmouth, but there was no shame in that because Dennis Yarmouth went undefeated and won the Massachusetts Super Bowl last year. We do know they lost all but three starters from that team, but it still looks like they're doing pretty well. So it's a challenge for West, but it's a challenge they kind of welcome at this point. I think they're looking forward to testing themselves against a good team and, you know, see what they can do.
I'm sure they are looking forward to it, but at the same time, I think they'd probably like to play a Division I opponent after coming off their first Division I victory of the season. They beat South Kingstown 7-0 last week after starting out the season 0-4 in Division I. Now at 1-4, they get a win under their belts, a shutout under their belts as a defense. You know, they'd probably like to keep that momentum going in a game that actually counts towards, you know, reaching the playoffs. And they're not doing that this week, obviously playing a Massachusetts team. But if they are confident in the way they played last week and they think they did some things, it is a chance to improve on those, to build on those, to give your new quarterback, Damian Andrews, if he's still under center, a little more time to get comfortable when those Division I opponents come around. So there are some benefits to playing a non-Division I game this week. It's just that if they feel good about the way they played last week, they probably want to keep that rolling into a game that counts.
Yeah, that makes sense. But West, I mean, they do. We've talked all year about their defense, and it's had its moments. I mean, it had a bad game against Hendricken, and there were some bad moments against LaSalle. But it is a strong defense overall. Anthony St. Laurent, who you can read about in this week's Cranston Herald.
Nice plug.
Yeah. And the linebacking core led by Jack Hammonds and Stefano Marziali. So it's a solid unit there. And I mean, they'll definitely get a test this week. But if they can, you know, try to build on it and go into their last three league games, I think they'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, amazingly, they're not out of playoff contention.
They really are.
I mean, four wins has gotten people into the playoffs before. It did last year. So that's how East Providence got in last year with four wins. So 1-4 right now. They've already played LaSalle. They've already played Hendricken. They've already played Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So those three teams are gone. You know, the one team that we think is going to make the playoffs still on West schedule is East. If West could run the table from now till then, I mean, they'll still have to beat Tolman, and they'll still have to beat East Providence. They can beat East Providence. We feel pretty confident about that. Tolman will be a tough task. But if they could somehow win those two games, depending on the way things shake out, you could be looking at a potential elimination game on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's a long way away, and a lot has to happen.
Yeah.
But by beating South Kingstown, they at least kept a slim margin of hope, you know, alive for reaching the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll take Dennis Yarmouth in this one, 21-6. But, you know, West will be back to league action next week, and we'll see what they can do. So our last game to talk about, we have Pilgrim hosting Cumberland on Friday at 7 o'clock. And I think we talk about this every week. It does not get easier for Pilgrim. They just have a tough, tough schedule.
You keep waiting for that one team that they're going to play, and you're going to say, all right, you know, this team struggled a little bit. Pilgrim will get their feet under them and, you know, contend and maybe get a win. That hasn't happened. And this week it gets even worse when they take on Cumberland, who's ranked number 6. They're the second highest ranked Division II team in the state. And they've been dominant. We've talked about Johnston, how good they've been. You know, with the 146-18 point differential, Cumberland's been almost as good. Cumberland has outscored their opponents 132-12 so far this year. So their defense has been even better.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been unbelievable there, and they are leading Division IIB both in points scored and fewest points allowed. They're unbeaten in the division. I mean, they've just their only loss is to Division I Cranston West in the game they could have won in the first week of the season. Since mm-hmm. then, they've run the table, and they've pretty much crushed everybody. So, yeah, I mean, if Pilgrim's a team that's trying to improve and just looking for some positives, Cumberland is probably not the best team to be welcoming in to try and find those positives. But, you know, you still got to go play the games.
Yeah. You know, Pilgrim played Coventry in a non-league game last week, fell behind, had a tough third quarter. They did score two touchdowns late in the game, so there's some positives there. I think Pilgrim has been able to build some positives. They've gotten a lot of experience for their younger guys, and basically their whole team was younger. So, I mean, it's been a valuable season in that respect. Just like you said, it's a tough matchup this week.
I mean, all they can try to do is improve at this point. I'm sure they want wins. Everybody wants to win. You know, you want to come to school the next day or a few days afterwards and say that we won the game. But for them as a team, just taking strides, making improvements, not turning the ball over, doing what they can do. I mean, they're going to be potentially physically, you know, overmatched a little bit in terms of just sheer size between them and Cumberland. So, you know, you control what you can control. And if they do that and they improve and they feel like they're grasping things a little bit better, it'll show up on the scoreboard. It might not show up in wins, but it'll show up at least a little bit. And I think that's, you know, what they can hope to take away at this point in the season. And maybe as time goes on for the last couple of weeks, they'll get some winnable games and they'll take advantage of them.
Yeah. So we'll take the Clippers in this one 41-12. And finally, we will survey what's going on around the state. We actually are going to talk briefly about two games.
First time ever.
Yes. Yeah. We're expanding. Breaking new ground. Interesting Division II game. St. Ray's taking on Shea. Pawtucket battle on Saturday at 1:30 at the McCoy Stadium Annex. This is a game between two teams that are 2-2, and I think the winner, you know, has the inside track. It's very similar to what we talked about for Vets in 2A. This is in 2B, and the winner of this one has an inside track at a playoff spot.
Yeah, exactly. You stole my thunder. It's the same thing as the other side. There's a bunch of teams there at 2-2. Both these teams are 2-2. And not only do you want to get that game ahead of everyone, but when it comes down to it, you want these tiebreakers if it's a last playoff spot and that sort of thing. So these games take on even more importance than just vaulting above the team for the time being in the standings. You want to get to that four-win plateau, like we said on the other side. Both these teams have two. Three games remaining in the slate for both of them. So, you know, a win here obviously goes away a long ways to getting you towards that four.
Yeah. And if you're looking for something to do Saturday, this would be a good game to watch because there's going to be a lot of talent on the field. Shea has Dennis Lloyd and Chris Fonseca, not to mention Boubacar Lemon, who is my favorite player in the state. St. Ray's has Charles Correa, a couple other really standout running backs, so that'll be an interesting game. And then our other game, we don't know much about these teams. We don't have any Division III teams to cover, but Middletown and Moses Brown playing at 2 o'clock on Saturday at Moses Brown. Middletown has, maybe I should take back what I said about Johnson being the most dominant team in the state, because Middletown has just destroyed people.
They have scored 236 points in five games. Five division games. So that's 47 points a game. So if you like offense, you know, Denver's Moses Brown on Saturday is a pretty good game.
And Moses Brown 3-1, so they're right there in Division III. But Middletown's been really impressive. 61-8 last week over Lincoln. So they're an interesting team to watch and climbed pretty far up into the Rhode Island Sports Media poll. Middletown. The Islanders sitting in ninth.
Yeah,
which is,
for a Division III team.
Yeah, that's about as high as I remember a Division III team going. So that will just about do it for us here on the podcast. We will be back next week to talk about another full slate of games. But for now, enjoy more football. With a little love and some tenderness. We'll walk upon